Nashtapayeshapateshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamasake Bhakti Bhavati Nashtaki. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 8, verses 28 to 30 or 31. So we'll start with verse 28. Manye tvam kalam ishanam anadi nitanam vipam samam charantam sarvatra bhutanam yamatakali. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. My Lord, I consider your lordship to be eternal time, the supreme controller, without beginning and end, the all-pervasive one. In distributing your mercy, you are equal to everyone. The dissensions between living beings are due to social intercourse. Mukam karati vachalam pangam langhayate girim yakipam tamaham vande shikurum tirutaranam om agyana timrandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshumiritam yena tasmai shikuruve namaha. So, last Friday, we heard about Krishna's activities about protecting his devotees, how he protected Queen Kunti from so many different dangers. And then on Friday, we heard why she was praying to be put into this position of helplessness. Because when she was in this position, then what happened? When Kunti was in such a helpless condition, Krishna was there. So therefore, she wanted to remain always helpless, always dependent on Krishna. So Krishna would always come to her rescue. So when Krishna sees how we are dependent on him, we can't do anything for ourselves, then he will come and help us. As we said, God helps those. Of course, there's that other proverb, someone else brought that up, God helps those that help themselves. So we also have to endeavor. And this will be actually discussed later on in the following verses. What is the endeavor in Krishna consciousness? But today we're going to learn a little bit more about Krishna. We heard about how he protects the devotees, and how he's a Kinchana Gocharam. So how would you categorize the last few prayers of Queen Kunti, where she prays for protection, but she talks about Krishna's protection and explains how Krishna is indebted to his devotee who possesses nothing but him. So how would we, what category? Here we have the categories that we decided on the first day. So what kind of prayers are these latest prayers of? Gratitude, okay? Gratitude for protection. Good, yes? Praise, okay? Krishna is the property of those who are materially exhausted. Gratitude, praise. Anything else? No, I think gratitude is a good one. Gratitude and praise. These two are mixed there. So today we're going to hear a little bit more about Krishna, his contradictory behavior. There are so many contradictions in Krishna. And many people, they can't figure out why there should be these contradictions in Krishna. But there are these contradictions. So now Kunti is going to present some of these contradictions. In this verse right here, it's not so much, but in 29, 30 we'll hear, and 31. So this is more or less like an introduction to these verses, explaining why Krishna behaves the way he does, and why we sometimes see his behavior as being contradictory. So here in this verse, Krishna is described as Kala, or time. Bhishma Dev, when he was lying on his bed of arrows, we talked about this before, then he was bewildered also in trying to understand the action of time. He couldn't understand because he was seeing how this Yudhisthira, he is a personified religion, how Bhima, he's the strongest man in the world. Arjuna is the greatest archer. And Draupadi is the goddess of fortune. But still, there were so many reverses. And Krishna was their friend. Still, so many problems came to the Pandavas. So what Bhishma said was that I think this is due to the influence of inevitable time. It is irreversible. Otherwise, how can these things happen? Then he goes on to say, O king, no one can know the plan of the Lord. So he's pointing to somebody here who's actually doing all these things, but he's not mentioning directly who is this person, who is time. So who is time, actually? What is Kunti saying? Who? Krishna. It's Krishna. Krishna's doing all these things. Why is he doing this? We discussed this last time, why sometimes the devotees are put into suffering condition of life. So here in the purport, this is the beginning of the purport. Srila Prabhupada says, this is verse 28, right at the beginning, first sentence, Kunti Devi knew that Krishna was neither her nephew nor an ordinary family member of her paternal house. She knew perfectly well Krishna is the primeval Lord who lives in everyone's heart as the super soul, Paramatma. So this verse is describing Paramatma feature of Lord Krishna. Another name of Paramatma feature of the Lord is Kala, or eternal time. So did you know that? Paramatma is also Kala. This is what Prabhupada is saying here. Why is Paramatma Kala? Eternal time is the witness of all our actions, good and bad. And thus resultant reactions are destined by him. So in this way, the super soul is Kala, because time is the witness. And time is giving us the reactions as time. If there were no time, then we wouldn't get reactions. So this is, we do something in the past, time witnesses it, and then now we get it in the present. We do something now, time is the witness. Again, in the future, time is eternal, and time is always watching. So this time, this feature of time, is Paramatma, feature of Krishna. So then at the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, near the end, actually the middle, the Kala offers the conditioned souls both happiness and miseries. It is all predestined by eternal time. As we have miseries uncalled for, so we may have happiness also without being asked, for they are all predestined by Kala. No one is therefore either an enemy or friend of the Lord. Everyone is suffering and enjoying the result of his own destiny. So those of you who are following Bhagavad Gita last week, I think you heard all about this, the actions and reactions, how the soul is responsible for the karma that he gets. But time is also involved because we can't remember what we did in our past life. So Kala, the super soul is Kala, he remembers. So this destiny, this is fixed for everyone in this world. Of course, we know if you become a devotee of Krishna, then your destiny can be changed. But actually, for everyone else in this world, the destiny is fixed. So Srila Prabhupada tells a story how destiny is fixed. I told this one time in Gita class, so those of you who were there probably remember, that there was one very poor man, and he was so poor that Parvati took pity on him. She saw this poor man coming. She said to Shiva, please do something for this poor man. He's so poor. So Shiva said, even if I do something, it's his destiny to be poor and that can't be changed. She said, no, never mind, just do something for this poor man. So Shiva said, okay. So he took one watermelon and he put so much gold inside the watermelon. And then he covered it up to look like it was not even cut, gave it to the poor man. And the poor man, he got this watermelon. Of course, Shiva was in disguise. He didn't look like Shiva. So then the poor man was so happy. Oh, I got this watermelon. I'm gonna go sell it in the market. I'll make so much money. It's a very heavy watermelon. So he went to the market. He sold it. And that was it. He didn't get the gold. So this is to show that our destiny is actually fixed as far as our karma goes. And therefore, there is a nice verse in Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto spoken by Narada Muni to Vyasadeva. He says, that persons who are intelligent and philosophically inclined, they do not try for these things that we find in this world, but they try for something which we have not yet gotten by wandering from the highest planet down to the lowest. By wandering through 8,400,000 species of life, they try for that thing which they haven't yet gotten. Because after all, the happiness comes to us without asking, just like distress comes. We don't go looking for distress, but still it comes. So the happiness will also come. So therefore, we should not waste our time trying for it. So what should we look for? What is that thing that we have not yet gotten? Krishna consciousness. Very good. Krishna prema. Krishna consciousness. This is the thing that we should try for. And the beginning of this is to inquire into the Absolute Truth. Atato brahma jigyasa. So here, time, the aspect of time, Krishna is time, he's super soul. So that's why this verse is very much describing super soul, not only as time, but also samam charantam sarvatra. His mercy is equally disposed everywhere. So how does this describe the super soul, that his mercy is equal everywhere? Anybody remember Bhagavad Gita? It says, samoham sarabhuteshu. Yes. So his mercy, I am equal to everyone. So this is super soul. Super soul, as super soul, as time, Krishna is equal to everyone. But as Krishna, as Bhagavan, in his personal feature, then he's not equal. How is he not equal? He helps the devotees, yes. But he's also equal to his enemies, and we'll discuss that a little later on. First, I'd like to discuss a little bit more about time, Kalarupa. There's another side to time besides just being a witness. This aspect of time, Lord Krishna showed Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. What aspect of time is this?
Destroy.
Yes. Arjuna asked, what is your mission? Who are you? What is your mission? And the universal form replied, Kalas, Kalosmi, I am time. Time I am. And I have come here to destroy all people, except for you, except for the Pandavas. Everyone will be killed. So Krishna, there's a verse how Krishna is actually time in this aspect which he showed to Arjuna. In Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 13th chapter, it is said, Lord Shri Krishna, in the guise of all-devouring time, has now descended on earth to eliminate the envious from the world. So Prabhupada explains how, for his devotees, Krishna shows his real form. His real form, as he showed Anandana, as Devaki Nandana. But for the demons, he appears like Kala Rupa, time. So therefore, this form is not very pleasing to the Asuras. It's not very pleasing. If you see the form of time, if any of you have ever experienced being in a war, then that's the form of Kala Rupa. Prabhupada said when the bombs were dropping on Calcutta, he said he could appreciate this is Krishna in the form of Kala Rupa. Not a very lovable form. You don't go to embrace Kala Rupa. So the impersonalists, they get to see this form of Krishna. The atheists, the demons, the impersonalists, this is the form of Krishna that they will see. So therefore, they prefer to become impersonalists. They prefer to think of the Lord as formless. So they won't be vanquished by Krishna. So they won't see this Kala Rupa. Because actually, this is the form that Krishna shows to them. The front of Krishna is seen by the devotees. And the back of Krishna is seen by the demons. The demons, impiety is at the back. Religion is the front. Irreligion is on the back of Krishna. So those who are irreligious, they will see the back of Krishna. And this is what you see at the back, destruction. You see these things. As I was saying before in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva had a vision. And he saw Krishna along with Maya. And where was Maya? Where was his external energy? It was behind Krishna. So if you are seeing Krishna from the back, then you will have company back there. Maya is also back there. So if you see Krishna from the back, then you will be also seeing his external energy. That's what you will see. So therefore, here we're getting a picture of Krishna. He's also Kala. He's equal to everyone. Samoham, Sarvabhuteshu. So therefore, for the devotees, we'll see. Later on, she will explain how the devotees see Krishna. It's quite differently. Now she's describing how Krishna is appearing as super soul. And it's not his fault that these fights are happening. She says here, dissensions between living beings are due to social intercourse. So that is our karma. So then verse 29, we'll hear some more explanation about this, how Krishna is equal to everyone. Na Veda kaschit bhagavang shikirshitam. Tave hamanasya ninam vinambanam. Na yasya kaschit aitastikar hichit. Dveshyascha yasmin vishamamatir ninam. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and so are misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. People only imagine that you are partial. So here it said, Naveda kaschit bhagavan shikirshitam, that nobody knows why you come here. It's very bewildering. Why should God come to this forsaken, this Martyaloka? What is there here for him? Why should he come here? He has nothing. He's completely self-satisfied in the spiritual world. So we already discussed that. What are the reasons why Krishna comes? Who can tell me again? Yes? Yes. Okay, what was that again? To give his association to the devotees. Very good. And we also heard Pratitranaya Sadunam, Vinashaya Chidushkitam. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Now in a lecture on this verse, Prabhupada gives another reason why Krishna comes. It is his free will. He just decides, okay, let me go and see what's happening. Just like a governor may come and inspect the jail. See, okay, let me see how they're doing there in the jail. Let me go and see. Unfortunately, when he comes, a prisoner might think, oh, he's also in jail. The governor's in jail, just like me. But it's not like that. He's making the laws of the jail, and he can also free you from the jail. When he comes here, he's not in the jail. He's not under the laws of material nature. So therefore, Kunti is trying to clarify the matter for people who think Krishna was partial to the Pandavas and envious of the Kurus, because he always took the side of the Pandavas. So, actually, we heard that in verse 23, how Kamsa was envious. Kala, the word is kala. There's another Sanskrit word, matsara. Matsara means envious. So envious, what is the symptom of an envious person? How does he act? What does an envious person do? How does he think? Yes. Right. He wants to get the things somebody else has and he doesn't have. That is envious. So Krishna cannot be envious because he has everything. Why should he be envious of someone? He doesn't need anything from anyone. He doesn't need what the Kurus have. So therefore, there's no need for him to be envious. Srila Prabhupada explained that in the spiritual world, nobody is envious. And the material world, everyone is envious. So therefore, you can test yourself whether you're in the material world or the spiritual world. If you're envious, you're in the material world, and if you're not envious, you're in the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada said that. So the Krishna consciousness movement is meant for those who are not envious. The Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for those who are not envious. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it kicks out all the cheating religious principles, including dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, and says this Bhagavatam is simply for those who are nirmat saranam satam, those sadhus who are perfectly non-envious. So, Kunti Devi says here, it seems that you're partial because you're playing the part of a human being. So this is very bewildering. This is vidambaram. But actually, Krishna was very merciful to the demons. We saw that when Krishna came. Who can give me an example of how Krishna was merciful to the demons? Yes. Putana. Yes. She came to kill Krishna. How envious could you be? And he was just a small baby also, a few months old or even less, a few days old. So she came to kill him. Krishna gave her a position of mother. So how can you say he's envious? Somebody comes to kill you and you give them an exalted position. So he just took the service. He didn't see the bad part. He took the service. Oh, yes, she's my mother. She acted like my mother. So therefore, I will accept her as my mother. And what's another example of how Krishna is merciful to his enemies? Yes. Ah, yes, Vamanadev and Bali Maharaj. So it appeared that Bali Maharaj was his enemy. Right. Because Vamanadev was born in the demigod family. Bali was born in the demon family. So the demigods and the demons are always fighting. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam, demigods, demons, they're always fighting for power. Especially they're fighting over the heavenly kingdom of Lord Indra. So in this case, the demons had won the kingdom. And Vamanadeva appeared just at the request of Aditi to get the kingdom back for Indra. So apparently it appeared that Bali was the enemy and Indra was the friend. But actually, what happened? Who became actually more exalted in the end by Vamanadeva? Huh? Bali Maharaj, yes. Indra got the material kingdom. Bali Maharaj got Vamanadeva as his doorman. So here, how more merciful. He gave himself to his enemy, so-called enemy. He gave himself to Bali Maharaj because Bali gave everything to him. So what else could he do? He had to repay Bali Maharaj. Bali gave his whole kingdom plus his whole self. So then what could he do? How could he repay him except give his whole self? So therefore, here's a good example of how he's merciful to his enemies. He's not partial. Another one that I was thinking of is the battle of Kurukshetra. So many soldiers on the other side, they were not qualified to go back to Godhead. But because they saw Krishna at the time of death, because they were purified by Arjuna's arrows, they got qualified to go back to Godhead. So all these people, everyone who was in the battle of Kurukshetra, they got liberation. So they were fighting against Krishna. And he gave them all liberation. And some of them got promotion to Vaikuntha. So who can be more merciful? Uddhava was remembering the pastime of Putana. And he was saying, who is more merciful than Krishna? That he gave salvation to his enemy. Not only salvation, the position of his mother. So here Kunti, she's also trying to explain how Krishna is merciful. He's not envious. He's merciful to everyone. Another example is given of the sun, how the sun is impartial. The sun shines equally. There's a verse in Hitopadesh. It says, the sun shines equally on the house of the king and the house of the chandala. Sun is equal. It doesn't say, okay, this, or it doesn't say, this place is too dirty, I'm not going to shine here. No, the sun shines equally. So Krishna is also like that. He gives his mercy equally to everyone. But there is a problem. So it sometimes appears that the mercy is not equally distributed. So where does the problem lie? Is the problem with Krishna? Is it because he's not giving? Yes. Yes, the recipient. And this is exactly what Srila Prabhupada says in the purport here. So we'll read the purport, paragraph 1, near the end of paragraph 1. Srila Prabhupada says, foolish people think that devotional service is flattering the Lord to get special mercy. Factually, the pure devotees who are engaged in transcendental loving service of the Lord are not a mercantile community. A mercantile house renders service to someone in exchange for values. The pure devotee does not render service unto the Lord for such exchange. Therefore, the full mercy of the Lord is open for him. Suffering men, needy men, inquisitive persons, or philosophers, so make temporary connections with the Lord to serve a particular purpose. Who are these men? They're described in Bhagavad Gita. Suffering men, needy men, inquisitive persons, or philosophers. Anybody recognize that verse? What's that? Chaturvidha bhajante mam, jana sukritanorjana. The four kinds of people come to worship me, Krishna says. So here Prabhupada is saying, these four kinds of people, they come to Krishna and they make a temporary connection with Krishna just to serve a particular purpose. Prabhupada says, when the purpose is served, there is no more relation with the Lord. A suffering man, if he is pious at all, prays to the Lord for his recovery. But as soon as the recovery is over, in most cases, the suffering man no longer cares to keep any connection with the Lord. The mercy of the Lord is open for him, but he is reluctant to receive it. That is the difference between a pure devotee and a mixed devotee. A mixed devotee, Prabhupada says, he's reluctant to receive the mercy. And a pure devotee is open to receive the mercy of the Lord. So this is a difference, very important. Prabhupada says, those next paragraph beginning... Oh, no, it's not the next paragraph. Anyway, here I have... It is the next paragraph somewhere near the end. Those who are completely against the service of the Lord are considered to be in abject darkness. Those who ask for the Lord's favor only at the time of necessity are partial recipients of the mercy of the Lord. And those who are 100% engaged in service of the Lord are full recipients of mercy of the Lord. Such partiality in receiving the Lord's mercy is relative to the recipient, and it is not due to the partiality of the all-merciful Lord. So Krishna is not partial in giving his mercy. We are partial in receiving it. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati tells a story about a young man who was very reluctant to wake up in the morning. He got into his bed and he pulled all the curtains shut. Nighttime, he shut all the curtains, he shut the door and he locked the door and he went to sleep. So then next morning, he wasn't getting up and his mother, his father were knocking on the door. Please, get up, get up. Finally, it became 12 o'clock noon. And they said, please, please get up, get up. He says, no, it's still dark in here. I'm not going to get up. It's still nighttime. Why should I get up? Then his mother had said, no, no, it's 12 o'clock. Just open the door, open your curtains, and you'll see the sun. So this is the sun. What can the sun do? The sun cannot, if you close your curtains and close your doors, the sun cannot come into your room. So same way, Krishna, if you close yourself to Krishna, then how can he help you? How can he change your heart? So we have to become open to Krishna. How can we become open? What is the way to become open to Krishna? What are some ways to do this? Yeah. Pray to become open, okay? Chant Hare Krishna. What is that? Sadhu Sangha, okay? You see people who are open and you associate with them. Yes. Try to see Krishna in everything that's happening. Okay, everything is Krishna's mercy. You know, I won't tell you that story because it was in Back to Godhead. How everything is Krishna's mercy. But actually, it's a fact. When you become to a certain level of advancement, then you realize, yes, everything is Krishna's mercy. Everything is the mercy of Krishna. So Prabhupada gives the example, if you keep the sun to your back, imagine the sun's back here. Now your back is to the sun, then all you're going to see is a big shadow of your body. You're just going to see a shadow. You'll see the reflection. And if you turn towards the sun, you won't see the shadow, you'll see light. So simply we have to turn to the sun. And that's Krishna consciousness. Always keep us, keep ourselves in the light. What is it? What is that in Chaitanya Charitamrita? What is that verse about keeping yourself in the light or about the light and the darkness? And it's actually, yes, Krishna Surya Sama Hoy Andakar. Jaha Krishna? Yes. No Maya. So wherever there is Krishna, there is no Maya. So this is what we have to do. We have to keep ourselves in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada explained how to do this. He said that, just like he gave an example, if you get yourself in an airplane, you fly in an airplane. How many of here have been in an airplane? Most of you. Okay. So when you get into an airplane, and it's morning time, the sun has just risen, and you fly west. And if you keep flying and don't get out of the airplane, then you won't see the sun set. You'll keep flying, flying, and you'll be going. If you fly west, that's what Prabhupada said, you'll never see the sun. So if we always keep ourselves in Krishna consciousness, then we'll have his mercy. Yes, maybe you have to fly east. Anyway. Yeah, let me see. I don't have the exact quote. Krishna Surja Sam Maya Hoy Andhakar. I don't have the verse written down here. I'll look it up. Yes? Oh, good. Okay, Madhya 22, for those of you who would like to know. Madhya 22. I didn't write it down because it was such a common verse. So I would like to ask a few questions. The first question is, we're talking here about people are reluctant to accept the mercy of Krishna. So why? Why are we reluctant to receive the mercy of Krishna? Should be nice, yes? Oh, we're afraid Krishna's mercy means that we lose everything. What else? We're still attached to material things. Yes. We want to control. Yes. If the mercy's in there, then you don't know what's going to happen. Yes? We're envious of Krishna. Yes, we want to be in control. Why Krishna should be like this? Why Krishna? Yes. No faith. Okay? This is very important. It's all a matter of faith, Krishna consciousness. We think, oh, if he gives me the mercy, then I don't know, maybe it won't be good for me, right? But we're thinking, oh, I know better than Krishna. I know better. Krishna doesn't know actually what I need. I need this, this, and this. But if Krishna gives me something else, then what am I going to do? Yes? Right. We know better than Krishna. So therefore, it's better we plan our own lives and we make our own fate. But we've been doing that for so many births already. And has it satisfied us? No. What's that? Faith. Right, find it hard to surrender. Yes, therefore it's a gradual process that we begin with some little faith, then we associate with devotees. And then after association, after sadhusanga, what happens? Next, yes. Yes, faith increases. And then we go to the next level, bhajana kriya. And bhajana kriya takes a long, long time to get past anartana vritti. Very, very difficult. Because we have all these bad habits, all these doubts, all these misgivings from so many lifetimes. So one after the other, they have to be destroyed. Of course, there is an easy way. If we accept the mercy, then it can be done immediately. But it's very difficult for us to accept that. And we want to take our time. We want a few more lifetimes, a few more births of suffering, and then we'll surrender. So that's what it means, actually. Prabhupada said, the intelligent person, he will surrender immediately. When he hears that this verse, Bahunam Jamanam Ante, after many births and deaths, the Gyani finally surrenders. So Prabhupada said, why wait many births and deaths? Why not do it now? So why don't we just surrender or take the next step? Of course, surrender is a big word. To surrender is, but there are many, many small, small steps in the path of surrender. So just even to take the next step, that is often very difficult. What is the next, even to know what is the next step or to take it. Usually we know, but we don't want to take it. So what can we do about that? Very, very difficult. Yes. Kurukshetra war.
There was, I couldn't read that
verse. Oh, Jarasandha. Not Jarasandha. Jayadratha. Jayadratha. There, yes, he would put himself in the fire.
Yeah.
And that means they would lose.
So the end of the day came.
Yes.
And the song was almost.
Yeah, it was finished, actually.
Yeah, so.
Oh, yeah. He made it dark, so they thought it was finished. Yeah, it's impossible. Arjuna couldn't win the battle. Right. Yeah, so Krishna is partial. But at. Yes. Yes. He is partial, but in his position as super soul, he's impartial. So she's describing here now more or less super soul, how super soul is. So Krishna is also super soul. So as super soul, he's not partial. As Krishna, he's partial, but also at the same time, he's not partial because look how he helped his enemies. Although he made Arjuna win the battle, still all the people who were on the battlefield, they went to the spiritual world. So in that sense, and Arjuna was left here in this world. Just so in that sense, he was also, in one sense he's partial, in another sense he's impartial. So this is very bewildering. All these points are very bewildering for people to understand. This. Devotees can understand how Krishna can be at the same time partial and impartial. Actually, he's both. He's impartial, but he's also partial. Yes, he was ready to kill Bhishma. But this was, actually he's favoring Bhishma.
But both are devotees.
What's that?
Both are devotees. I mean, Bhishma is also a devotee.
Yes, yes.
Of course he has.
No, actually you should understand this pastime. When Krishna was very angry at Bhishma, and he went to kill him with the wheel of the chariot, why did he do that? Why was he going to kill Bhishma? Bhishma is his devotee. Yeah. Yes. Well, actually, see, Bhishma made a vow that morning. Bhishma made a vow. He said, if Krishna does not fight, then I will kill Arjuna. So therefore, Krishna had to keep Bhishma's vow, because Bhishma is his devotee. And he also had to keep Arjuna's vow. Arjuna made a vow in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna said, you declare it. You know that vow of Arjuna? My devotee never perishes. Yes. So in order to keep the vows of Arjuna and Bhishma, he picked up the weapon to go kill Bhishma. So actually it was, he was favoring Bhishma. If he didn't do that, then Bhishma's vow would be broken. Yes. He helped Bali. Right. So all these things, for non-devotees to understand, it's very, very, very difficult, these contradictions, how he can do like this. Even the gopis criticized Krishna. Oh, when you were Ram, you did this with Bali. Why you did this? How can we trust you? Because you're this kind of person. Yes, yes. This is another point. One point, there are so many reasons. So on one level, he had to protect Bhishma's vow. On another level, it was the rasa that Bhishma had with Krishna. And so usually, you know, you're so happy when you see your loved one. Bhishma loved Krishna, actually. And so he was very happy to see him. And usually, you know, Krishna's Supreme Lord, it's very hard to, you know, if he's going to call you to come and see you, it's a wonderful thing. But here, instead of Krishna calling Bhishma, come and see me, you know, just like when Prabhupada was here, if Prabhupada called us to see him, it was a really big thing. So instead of Krishna calling Bhishma, you come here. Krishna was rushing to Bhishma. And the way Bhishma saw it, it was just like a lover coming to his beloved. And Krishna also was feeling like that too. When Bhishma was attacking him with arrows, Krishna felt like this is flowers. This is like the flowers, or this is like the bites of my beloved. This is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. That he was seeing like this, and this was the relationship Bhishma and Krishna had. And you will see in the 9th chapter, I don't think we'll get there, but Bhishma was appreciating this scene, where Krishna had the wheel in his hand. Bhishma was thinking of this at the time of death. He said, I'm so happy I saw him with the wheel in his hand, and he was coming to me, and he had blood, he was full of blood, because Bhishma was shooting arrows at him to stop him. And Arjuna was holding onto his feet, trying to stop him. And Krishna was dragging Arjuna down the battlefield. So Bhishma was so happy. He was thinking of this scene. In chapter 9, he was thinking of, this is my Krishna. This is how I like to see Krishna. So for us, we can't imagine how this can be so. This is one type of relationship, chivalry, chivalrous relationship with Krishna. And Bhishma had this relationship. So therefore, the only way he could appreciate or he can enjoy this relationship was to fight with Krishna, relationship of chivalry. And Krishna also, he enjoyed. They both were enjoying this relationship. And just to prove that there was no enmity, that they were not enemies, at the end of Bhishma's life, Krishna came there. And Bhishma was appreciating so much. He said, this proves that Krishna, he favors his devotees. Bhishma felt like Krishna was favoring him, because even though I was shooting so many arrows at Krishna and he was bleeding, he has come before me at the time of death. And why Krishna came before Bhishma is that's also a wonderful story. I don't know if we'll get to it, but I'll tell you now just in case we don't. When all this, the battle was finished and Kunti finished her prayers, then Yudhisthira was very upset. I've killed so many people. What can I do? There's nothing I can do to rectify this now. I don't want to be emperor. I cannot be emperor. Just for my sake, so many people have died in this battle, Kurukshetra. So Vyasadeva was there, Narada was there. They were preaching to Yudhisthira. And still he said, no, I can't be emperor. No, I can't. Then Krishna was preaching to Yudhisthira. And still Yudhisthira, he was not convinced. Arjuna was convinced by Krishna when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. But Yudhisthira was not convinced. He said, oh no, I cannot become emperor. Now why was Yudhisthira not convinced? Because Krishna wanted Bhishma to do something better than him. Krishna wanted to show how Bhishma is a great devotee and he knows everything. He's a Mahajan, one of the 12 Mahajans. And at the time of death, he could do something that even Krishna could not do. He could pacify Yudhisthira. When Bhishma was on the bed of arrows, and Yudhisthira was asking him so many questions. And finally, he convinced Yudhisthira, okay, you become emperor. And Yudhisthira agreed, okay, I will become emperor and rule the kingdom. Actually, he was favoring Bhishma when he went to do that, in so many ways. So he, as we see, it was his relationship with Krishna. He kept Bhishma's vow. Actually, I'll tell you a little bit more about that vow. You read Mahabharata, yes? Remember before that, there were 5 arrows. I don't know if you remember that. There were 5 special arrows. The night before, Duryodhana was saying to Bhishma, you know, you're very partial to the Pandavas. You're not fighting nicely. So Bhishma said, no, don't worry. I got 5 special arrows, 1 for each Pandava. I'll kill them tomorrow. Duryodhana said, oh, great. Give me those arrows. I'll keep them safely. So then that night, Krishna, he's super soul. He knew. He said, Arjuna, you go to Duryodhana. And you ask him, remember Duryodhana said he'll give you some boon. One time you did something for him, now is the time. Go there and ask him for those 5 arrows. So in the day they were fighting, at night they were friends. So Arjuna went to the camp of Duryodhana and he was received very nicely. And they were feeding him and Duryodhana said, what would you like? And Arjuna said, remember that boon? You said you're going to give me something? Then Duryodhana said, you want the whole kingdom without fighting? Arjuna said, no, I don't want the kingdom. Just give me those 5 arrows. And Duryodhana gave. So the next morning, Bhishma went to Duryodhana. Where's the arrows? Duryodhana said, oh, I don't have them. Arjuna took. So Bhishma said, oh, okay, Krishna is very tricky. Never mind. I take a vow. If Krishna does not fight today, then Arjuna will die. So that happened. And Krishna, to keep Bhishma's vow, to keep Arjuna's vow, his devotee won't be vanquished, then he went rushing towards Bhishma. So he's partial actually. He was partial to Bhishma. And actually, when we read the 9th chapter, it's telling how Bhishma, he felt like he was more fortunate than Arjuna, because Arjuna was seeing Krishna from the back, because Krishna was his chariot driver in the battle. So Bhishma was seeing Krishna from the front. He was seeing Krishna from the front, so he could see the beautiful features of Krishna, whereas Arjuna was seeing Krishna from the back. So all those fighters on the other side, and Bhishma, including Bhishma, Drona, they had the view of Krishna from the front. They were very fortunate. They could see Krishna like that. And therefore, they went to the spiritual world. And therefore, Krishna was actually, he's not partial. Everyone is his son. Everyone is his child. So why should he be partial? Of course, we understand that he is partial to his devotees, to his own, just like a mother is going to be partial to her own children. And everyone, that's natural. No one will criticize a mother, oh, you're partial to your own son. No one will criticize, or a father. So Krishna, if he's partial to his devotees who have accepted, who have surrendered 100% to Krishna, he should be partial. But then again, as super soul, he's impartial. And then again, he's also helping, even to the demons, he's very merciful. Those demons, yes? Yes, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to save the most fallen. Yes. To the most fallen, okay? So here we have right the example, all of us here present, that we have the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who would have thought? I mean, if you go back in your life, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 years before, would you have thought that you would be doing this, that you would be chanting Hare Krishna and worshipping Krishna. It's very inconceivable how these things happen. And this is all the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Because in Kali Yuga, everybody is born with this in demoniac families, demonic mentality, doing demoniac things. And even if you're born in a good family, there's so much bad influence in Kali Yuga, like in India now, the TV. So, such a bad influence on people. When I was living in the village in Goa for 5 years. And when I first went there, the Hindus, they were not eating eggs like that. And then TV, there was huge propaganda that eggs are good for you, they do this. And then people start eating eggs. So even if you may be in a good position, but the nature of Kali Yuga is so bad that it can influence you. You go to school and you forget all about spiritual life. All the schools are secular. So you learn the opposite in school, actually. So from a young age, you learn that it's not good to be religious. We should be secular, secular state. They don't teach in the schools. So these things are all against us in Kali Yuga. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has given a very merciful means of self-realization, chanting the holy name. Anybody can do, even a child. Prabhupada says even a dog can take part of it. Even a dog, even a child, even a dog. And I've seen dogs take part in the kirtan in Russia when I was preaching. There was one dog. We went there for 1 week, and this one dog was following us everywhere. And when we would have procession of the deities, the dog would join. The other dogs were really, they were, you know, antisocial. They would bark and try to bite us. This one dog, he was really good. In Ukraine, this was. He would come Mangalarti time, all the shoes of the devotees were there, he would come and put his hand on the shoes. So these, you know, Prabhupada said even a dog can take part in it. And he said that the animals, like in New Vrindavan, these animals are also fallen devotees. Yeah, especially here in Vrindavan too. Dogs, hogs and monkeys, they're all fallen devotees. They were devotees in their last life. And they made some offense to the Dham, so therefore this life, they can't make any offense. As an animal, you don't make offense. And then they go back to Godhead, Prabhupada said. And so therefore, we see this is the mercy. Here, there's special mercy in Vrindavan. Special mercy. And also, if you make offense, there's also special reaction, which is also can be looked at as mercy. Okay, anything else on this? Any more discussion? Yes. Why, I don't know the story. But, you know, these Kshatriyas, oftentimes if you save their life or if you do something for them, they become indebted and they say, okay, I will give you a boon. I will give you. So something, I don't know the exact story. Somehow Arjuna pleased Duryodhan. And Duryodhan said, okay, I'll give you a boon. And Arjuna said, okay, I won't take it now, I'll take it later. So then the time came. So Arjuna said, okay, I'll take the boon now. I don't know that story actually. Anybody?
I think when they were very young,
perhaps. Yeah, I don't know. It could be. So these Kshatriyas, they're very, very serious about their vows and their word. Yes? No. Yes. As conditioned souls, our destiny is fixed. We cannot change it. But when you become a devotee, then your destiny can be changed. And Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita. So that's the point was that you cannot change your destiny. You can't get more happiness or distress. So therefore, don't waste time trying to do that. But instead, surrender, do devotional service to Krishna. Yeah, so still we have to work. In Bhagavad Gita says, Krishna says that even just to maintain your body, you have to work. You have to work. So that actually that example that you're giving is saying the same thing, that a sleeping lion, nobody is going to enter the mouth of a sleeping lion. So the lion has to work for his food, right? Because otherwise he won't get it. So what is the work? This is the question. In the material world, people are thinking, I have to work for money, I have to work for happiness. So this work is condemned. This type of work is not good. That's right. That's true. So if you work in the material world, then you will get, in next life, you will get some reaction. You will make your fate. That's a fact. So then, but if you surrender to Krishna, then you get completely freed from the material fate and you make yourself a spiritual fate. So that's the point. That we work is not stopped. We still have to work either way. But material work, we don't want to do. Spiritual work, we want to do. You can even do the same work. But it has to be for Krishna. It has to be detached from the results, and you give the results to Krishna, and then you become free. And this is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna didn't want to work. He says, no, I don't want to work. I will get these reactions. Krishna said, no, you won't get reaction. You do the same work. You will fight, because it's your nature. You're going to have to fight. Even if you say, you go to the forest, actually, Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj was making a very nice point. Arjuna, they all went to the forest, but they were fighting all the time in the forest. It wasn't they were just sitting there and living like mendicants. So many enemies came, the Gandharvas came, the Rakshasas came, and they were fighting all the time. They took their weapons with them. Yeah. We cannot change your destiny. But if you surrender to Krishna, then your destiny, you're protected from your ordinary destiny. And instead, Krishna will directly control your life, and he will give you token reaction. That is the understanding. That you won't get the same destiny as you should have gotten. You will get something, because that destiny is the best thing to help you become, move towards liberation. That's the whole purpose of this reaction, is to teach you. You learn something. Oh, if I do this, I get this reaction. That's the whole purpose of destiny. And when you become a devotee, then you worship Krishna, then you don't get this kind of reaction anymore. But you try to please Krishna, and then you become satisfied. This is the only way you can satisfy the soul, is by pleasing Krishna. So in the beginning, we don't have this love for Krishna, so therefore we do our work for Krishna. We give the results to Krishna. There are many, many levels. And in the beginning, we do sadhana bhakti. We give the results of our work. And Krishna says, where does he say in Bhagavad Gita, that I will protect you from your destiny. I will protect you. There's one verse in Bhagavad Gita, a very famous verse. Yes. Yeah, Ahang Tvang Sarva Papebhyo. Yes, so do we believe in these words of Krishna? If Krishna does not protect us from our reactions, that means he's a liar. No, Krishna says, I protect you from your reactions to all your past misdeeds. Mashuchaha, don't be afraid, do not fear. Surrendering means don't be afraid of surrendering. Don't be afraid of getting your reactions. You surrender to me and I will protect you. Yes. That's right. That's right. You may still get some... Right. Yeah, the point is that you're on a ship right now. You're on a ship crossing the ocean, a material existence. So it may be rocking back and forth. There may be so many problems on the ship. But where is the ship going? It's going back to Godhead. So therefore you don't mind. You don't mind the ship's rocking. You don't mind there's sometimes a lot of waves come over the ship. Sometimes you fight with the people on the ship. So all these things can be happening, but you tolerate. And so Krishna tells Arjuna, you tolerate. Just like Prabhupada said, when he took the ship from India to America, there were so many people there that he didn't get along with. He was vomiting, he was sick, but he tolerated because he wanted to go to the other side. So same way, we're in the ship of Krishna consciousness, we're on the ship going back to Godhead. So we just have to tolerate and try our best to get the association of those pure devotees who are on the ship. And then we go back to Godhead. Yeah, that's a very good point. Krishna protects us from this age of Kali. The age of Kali is where we need protection from. So this chanting, hearing, remembering, doing deity worship, this is like an umbrella for the age of Kali. And if we decide to leave the association of devotees, then again, we suffer. We get the reactions. And they're very, very severe, actually. After being a devotee, then you remember the taste that you had, and it's very difficult when you go outside like that. Devotees have said, you really suffer a lot. Any other discussion on this? Rishabdev. Right. Spiritual endurance. Don't try to change your material position. Also, he said, Tapo Divyam. He says, you perform austerity, and then you will get Brahma Sokyam Tanantam. You will get unlimited spiritual happiness if you just perform this little austerity, this one little life. And, yes. Devotional service is the austerity. Devotional service. Because we want to serve, we think we want to serve ourselves. We want to be independent. And we are God and we will serve ourselves, our senses. But actually, we cannot avoid service. So better to serve Krishna. That will make us happy. That will satisfy. Yayatma supasiddhiti. Only devotional service can satisfy the soul. And none of these other things. Yes. How does it work? Actually, he's not the only witness, super soul. It's described there's 9 witnesses. The sun, the moon, air. So actually many, many demigods are witnessing. So, and how they collect the evidence and give it to Yamaraj, I'm not exactly sure. But super soul is not the only witness. And Yamaraj may also, I think Yamaraj also can witness. And Srila Prabhupada in one place, he said that Yamaraj is witnessing also. He said that too. Super soul is also witnessing. And super soul informs. Super soul is in the heart of Yamaraj also. So therefore he can, because Yamaraj is his devotee and his service is to punish these souls, then super soul, in that sense, he could also reveal to him. He gives intelligence from within.